There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday, and lots to do on today's show. I do want a couple things, just housekeeping before we get started. So I started off at like after the first week of college pick'em, I was in the 200s, and I was in the 184 range. 108. It wasn't my best weekend, but 100. Some of y'all had worse weekends in the FM Talk 106.5 college pick'em series. I'm now at 108. So if I can get a win for me would to be moved into like the sub 100, if I could do that. So I'll work on it this weekend. Where y'all remember the fun of this is, of course, on Mondays you trash talk about where you moved in the college pick'em series. Mentioned on the show today, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, he's back, Dr. Sean Powers from University of South Alabama and Dolphin Island Sea Lab. Lots to talk about with him, plus Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. And joining us here at the start of the show, leadoff batter, good to see Representative Matt Simpson in studio. Thanks for coming in. What is that? What, we've done some, what have they done with my mics here? I'm going to switch you to the other mic. I don't know why that's going on there, but let's try that there.
That better?
Yeah, a lot better. All right. I don't know what's happened in here. I've lost institutional control of this place. All right. So last week about, well, it was last week. It was Monday, wasn't it? You had a press conference.
Sure was. Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Chief Deputy Paul Birch and Sheriff Sam Cochran and I had all talked about you and your bill last week on the show. So good to get you in here to talk more about the fentanyl question, and it's been something I've talked about on the show for a while because I'm trying to navigate it, not just as a talk show host. Like you, I'm a dad.
Right.
Right? And so there's parts of this where you have ongoing drug use and then people get fentanyl, and then you have the story, the tragic story here locally, which is not the first of those, but it's the most recent, of a 15-year-old girl, a child, who we can presume maybe did drugs for the first time or something like that and is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, these kind of stories and your time as a prosecutor have gotten your attention here on this.
I wish these stories were a lot more rare than they are, unfortunately. With fentanyl going around, you don't really know what's in the pill. You don't really know. It could be what you thought was OxyContin or what you thought was some other type of pill. If it's laced with fentanyl, there's a good chance you may not wake up. And that's it. That's terrible. Kids don't get that. They don't understand that, you know, I at the press conference last week, I had one of those packets of Sweet and Low,
mm-hmm.
and a gram of Sweet and Low. It's one of those one packets you're at a coffee table, right. you put in your coffee, and that's a gram. A gram of fentanyl can kill up to 500 people. It just takes 2 milligrams as lethal.
500 people.
500 people with one of those packets of Sweet and Low, if that was fentanyl. That it's so deadly. It's a weapon. It's a weapon that's being used against us, and I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that the manufacturers in China have gotten together with the distributors in Mexico. They're coming through the open border, and they're using those same distribution tactics that they have for heroin, for methamphetamines, for cocaine, for marijuana. They're using that distribution packet, and they're getting this out there to the community. And it's so addictive, it's so powerful, and it's so lethal. Kids just don't know what's going on. They're not worried about killing their customers because customers will come back to them because you get addicted to it. And then, unfortunately, it's not one of the things we had at the press conference I talked about. Virginia Guy talked about it. This is a one pill will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't one of those of, oh, man, that was a bad trip or, oh, that was a bad experience. One bad pill of this will kill you. You will not wake up from it.
And I want to get back to that part of it and then what's brought forth in this bill that y'all be talking about. But in your time as a prosecutor and seeing this, if I'm a distributor, not just for the addictive area, but just to get stuff across the border, if you know, the stories of old were they converted this 18-wheeler into, you know, this to carry all this marijuana through, and you know, they had to do all kind of things to hide big bulk transports of marijuana or cocaine. This stuff, if I'm a drug runner, this is what I want to run because I can conceal. You just said a sweet and low packet is enough to make a bunch of drugs. I mean, why wouldn't I want to carry that versus 5 tons of cocaine or something like that?
And we had this stat and talked about it as well in the research. A kilo of heroin, let's say you're a drug transporter and you're transporting a kilo of heroin.
Okay.
You can buy it for about $6,000 and sell it. By the time you market it, get it out the streets, it's about $80,000. So you're looking at a profit of $74,000 on something like that on a kilo of heroin. For fentanyl, for a pure kilo of fentanyl, you can buy for about $5,000 because there's no opioid. It's manufactured. It's not. It's a synthetic opioid.
Right.
It's not something where you have to wait for a plant to bud or anything like that. So you buy a kilo of fentanyl for $5,000. By the time you chop it up and get it out into the streets and get it through there, you can sell it for $1.6 million.
Okay. Obviously. Financial reason to do it, ease of transport, and also you talk about you don't have to wait for a plant to grow. I got to think the old ideas of the interdiction. You were going to have helicopters going over looking for the fields of marijuana or for poppies or for coca leaf or whatever. You can go in a. This is all done in a building. There's a roof between any kind of. I mean, it's hidden.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, it seems like it's a no-brainer on. The drug traffickers, why they're doing it, right? And that motivation. But at the same time, this thing is like, and this nuanced view I have on it, which is maybe different than what you get in a regular headline, is what you were talking about. It's this idea that somebody, and we don't want them taking the opioid in the first place, but these things happen.
Right.
And they're taking what they think does X, whatever the result of that pill is X, and it's not.
Exactly. They think it's maybe methamphetamine. They think it may be cocaine. They think it may be some of those, you know, prescription drugs that they have. The way these pills are created now, they get them to look just like a prescription, just like it's, you may have your M30 stamped on it to where you look like you're, oh, this is like a prescription you get from the store. But they don't understand that that laced with fentanyl and that very little amounts of fentanyl can and will kill you.
So, and the mixing process on the pill side, and I don't know on the other because they've shown it has shown up in cocaine and marijuana and other, but in the fake pill side, well, I guess they're real pills, but the fake opioid side, the mixing of it, and I've been privy to see some things, you know, some busts have been made and how this is mixed up in like a slurry and poured into pill presses. It sounds strange to talk about this in the drug world, but there's no quality control. I mean, there's... it's weird to say that term, but
there's no FDA over their shoulder making sure that this is
correct. There's
this is
X
all done
number
the right way.
In this one and X number in that one. It's just whatever it ends up being. You mix the brownies up. Some brownies have more chocolate. Some have more egg in them. You know,
you are at the mercy of whatever that dealer decides, that manufacturer decides to put in that batch that day.
So with that being said, yeah, this is a different world than. And this is not, you know, because as soon as I look at the text line, people say, well, you're trying to make say it's okay that people are buying regular opioids. I'm not. But it is a different thing. This is why, obviously, that you believe that there should be different laws.
I do. I was reached out. I was a former prosecutor. I still have ongoing communications with many former prosecutors. One prosecutor from the Baldwin DA's office, her name was Katie Sipper. She reached out and said, listen, we had somebody that was having a trafficking fentanyl. We arrested them. We were ready to charge them, looking through the code, and there is no mandatory minimum prison sentence for trafficking fentanyl.
Yeah, what is the charge on fentanyl? I mean, because I'm sure the charges say this is a charge for cocaine, this is a charge for marijuana, or I mean,
yeah,
is it like...
On the distribution, on the trafficking charges, they break it down by amounts on what they have and what they're looking for, and if you have this amount, you're looking at this much time and this much of a fine.
But you just said the amount, the proof is a lot higher on fentanyl.
The proof, the fact that they didn't have these mandatory minimum sentences on fentanyl, they did it on if you're trafficking heroin, you have mandatory time you have to serve in prison. If you're tracking cocaine, you have mandatory time you have to serve in prison. If you're tracking methamphetamines, even marijuana. If you're trafficking those drugs, you have mandatory prison sentences you have to put. Fentanyl didn't have that in the code. In the current Alabama,
which we just said is deadlier than all the things you just listed.
Deadlier, more addictive, more powerful than all the things I just listed. Fentanyl was the one drug that didn't have a mandatory minimum in that. Now that goes back to a lot of it was because it was used in medical purposes. They had to use for a lot of things and that distribute. They didn't want to blur those lines too much, because generally it was all through the medical field. But now, because it's changed so much and how it's coming through this particular method, we've got to change with the laws. Well, the laws have to be able to change in occurrence to what the drug dealers have changed, to what the traffickers have changed. We've got to
get... Go ahead, do it with Spice.
Exactly.
I remember this. With
exactly.
Spice. Yeah.
We have to get up to date with what the drug dealers are doing. So this law that I've proposed would put a mandatory minimum prison sentence based on the weight that you have. So if you have between 1 and 2 grams, you're looking at 3 years. If you have 2 to 4 grams, you're looking at 10 years. If you have 4 to 8 grams, you're looking at a term of 25 years. If you have 8 or more grams, you're looking at life in prison. And the reason why you get that small of level means such high because it's
so
that deadly.
Right.
It's so potent. 1 gram, 500 people
right.
could die.
Yeah, and you could almost, I think, make the argument if you said, what is the equivalent of cocaine that it could take to kill 500 people?
Exactly.
So this is, and on the federal, because we're talking about the state side here, on the federal side, is there an analog here that you're going to work with, or is this going to be different?
It's going to, the federal laws aren't really up to date with it yet. There's some work. I know Congressman Jerry Carl has talked about fentanyl. I heard him give a speech 2 weeks ago. He was talking about fentanyl, what they need to try to do, need to change the federal laws, get up to date as they need to be on fentanyl. They're just not there yet. And it's one of those things of, I didn't want us to wait on Washington to say, Washington, you get it right, and we'll figure it out from there. It's tough to figure out how they do things up there as it is. So if we have a problem in Alabama, I wanted to address the problem in Alabama first, and we'll let Washington figure itself out.
Okay, so this is something we're going to run to break and come back more with Congressman Representative Matt Simpson. Have you talked to fellow members of the House and Senate? Okay.
Yeah.
So you got folks, they know, because it's not till March y'all go back into session, right?
It's not till March.
Which is not your fault, but that stuff frustrates me too, because how many people will die between now and then?
Yep. And that's why I wanted to get it out now. That's why I wanted to go to the press now, put it all out there, let everybody see it. If you have problems, if you have issues with it, if there's something that needs to be changed or corrected, let's correct it now between September and March. And that way, when we come to session in March, we're ready to go. And this bill can be vetted, ready to go, and we can get it passed hopefully early in the session.
All right, coming right back. We'll get your questions right here on Midday Mobile. Our guest, Representative Matt Simpson.
With Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Continue our conversation with Congressman Matt Simpson. I'm going to let you address this one more time because I see a bunch of text about this, and every time I talk about it, it comes up. And to be honest with you, I said the same thing early on. Why would they keep killing their customer base, right? This is this idea. If it's so deadly, it's bad business.
Because they're not worried about the health of their customer base is my, you know, that's my thoughts on it. This is a war that China has sent in to try to attack our youngest. You know, a lot of it started in China. Now they're coming through and they're attacking and they're killing our population, our young, healthy population. But it's so addictive, Sean. That's the problem. It's more addictive.
Right, even if they kill some people. They're going to have three to fill in the spot for...
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you have people that think that they're taking cocaine or whatever they think they're taking, that it becomes laced with fentanyl. Well, then they start looking for that high or that.
The fentanyl is more addictive than the cocaine.
Fentanyl is more addictive than cocaine.
Everything out there, it seems like that they're putting fentanyl in because it is more addictive than whatever that drug is.
Absolutely.
Because this texter said, he said, your guest says fentanyl is a weapon. It absolutely is. The Chi-Coms are in a soft war with us, but most people don't know or care. They use the Mexican cartels as a middleman or delivery system.
That's exactly right.
And although I did see a show the other day, it was Vice or something, where it showed that the folks from the Sinaloa cartel, they've hired chemists, and they're now trying to, business is business, right? They're trying to do it on their own to cut out China from the mix.
Yeah. The money, it's money. People will always find reasons to find an opportunity to get money where money is to be made. And there's money that people are making with this fentanyl issue, and they are preying on people that don't have a clue what they're taking right now. They don't know that fentanyl is mixed in with what they're taking. They don't know what's going on with them. They just know they're just chasing that high. And unfortunately, sometimes they chase that high and it leads the wrong direction, and they just don't wake up the next day because of fentanyl.
Oh, I've had doctors in here from Ulta Point and other groups that said they take, people that are heroin addicts, that they're doing the Suboxone and all that to try to get them off it. They come in and do the blood test, And they said, you know you have fentanyl in your system? They said, no, I don't take fentanyl. They said, you do. I said, well, I only did cocaine. They said, well, you have fentanyl in your system. And they were ignorant to it. Calvin says, should make it where you cannot get plea deals. The difference in months versus years on probation or months versus years in jail. So I don't know if that has...
This, you know, mandatory minimums that we have, you can get, you know, the district attorneys that still have the opportunity to make plea deals, but the plea deals, if it's a mandatory minimum, if they plea to that charge, they must do that time behind bars. That is, you know, there is a minimum time period that they must, when they go to bed at night, the door locks behind them and they sleep on a cot in custody of the Department of Corrections. So there's mandatory time that they would have to do that.
Yeah, so Tim's saying... it needs to be stopped at the border. But this goes back to the first thing I said to you. That is, if I'm the drug mule, this is the easiest thing I've ever had to bring in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, the stunts they had to... They were almost of interest, the creativity, what they did to bring marijuana in back in the day, because they had to bring so much in, right? You wouldn't believe it. They made the tires out of marijuana, whatever it was.
The tunnels underneath the ground and things like that.
This stuff...
The border, and I hate to break it to your listener, Sean, but let me just be clear. The border in the United States is not secure.
Vice President and the Czar of the Border said it was last week.
Yeah, well.
what's the problem has been around for a bit, says IT Jesus. Yeah, I mean, but you're saying now you're going to put some teeth into this.
Well, that's what we're working on. We're trying to get fentanyl to be on the levels. All the other drugs in Alabama, if you're caught trafficking these other drugs, you have mandatory minimums you have to serve. This just puts fentanyl back up to that level. We have to adapt as the drug dealers and the drug traffickers adapt to change what they want to do. We have to adapt Alabama law to fit into what they're doing. It's the same as if it was spice. It's
the same. Y'all remember that? I don't know if the listeners remember that whole thing that you'd say, okay, this formula that makes spice is illegal. So then they just tweak a component to it, and all of a sudden it was legal again, right?
Exactly. And I was in the court. I was prosecuting during that time, and they'd come up and be like, no, this is not the same chemical that's in this, and
right.
You can't charge. And they're right, because the DFS, by the time you're waiting on the DFS to get the report back, it doesn't have that chemical, so now you have to change it. So then you have to change the law another time and have to go back.
So y'all flipped it around then, I think, and said, if it has the effect.
Right. Yeah, we changed it to kind of cover the encompassing spice generally, as opposed to just the specific compounds.
Is there no other mechanism? And we just got about 3 minutes left. But there, and I appreciate you bringing this, Bill. But I mean, once again, it's March. You know, is there no other mechanism in a short term to do something until you can get something passed? I mean, this is.
No, there's really not as far as putting it on the code. We can bring attention to it. We can make sure that it's vetted before it goes into the system. Now, again, if a judge decides and there is a sentencing between now and then of somebody trafficking, the judge has the ability to say you're going to serve time in prison. You're going to get this way. This is something you have to do. This would just take that discretion away of the judge, where they could not just give a straight probation. But, you know, that until we get this bill passed, there is the ability for them to give straight probation on these trafficking charges.
Asked you if you've had conversations. You said you got a period of time, obviously, to make sure this is vetted and ready to go. You've had, saw a story the other day, Representative Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Rex Reynolds is a good friend of mine, former chief of police of Huntsville. You know, I've sent this bill around to a number of people to let them look at it, let them see, let them get their opinions. Let me figure out if this is, you know, what problems do you see in the bill now?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a problem, let's iron the kinks out.
Yeah, not September, do it when you're in session.
Right. I don't want to do it on the floor of the House. I don't want to do it where we have to bring amendments and change this around. Let's get the kinks out now. When we come back in March, we can hit the ground running and start this process and already going.
You have any ideas what tweaks might happen versus what you talked about a week ago?
I don't. You know, right now, this is the bill. I haven't heard back from anybody that had any ideas to change just yet. You know, you always have people that say, well, do we really want to put somebody in prison with our prison overcrowding system? Mm-hmm. Do we want to put somebody in prison for 3 years for essentially a packet of sweet and low of fentanyl? And my stance has been yes. We've mm-hmm. pulled up all the bills. We pulled up every other state, all 50 states, to see what they're doing with trafficking, how they've treated fentanyl. This is not out of line with what everybody else has
okay,
done.
Okay, so there's some precedent set that it's defensible. All right, well, we'll talk some more about this, obviously, between now and then, if anything changes in the bill. And of course, if we wouldn't run out of time today, there'd be a whole bunch of other things. So you come back soon and talk with me?
I'm always here to come back for you, Sean. You tell me when and I'll be here.
Are y'all doing special? Is there going to be any special for ARPA or anything like that you know?
I don't anticipate a special. What I have heard is they may do similar to what they've done in the past, where we have a special session within the session.
The old, so, what did I call that? It was like the ding-dong or ho-ho last year. You gavel in regular, then you go right into special, and then you...
That's it.
The creamy filling.
They like to make sure that the issue doesn't get convoluted. It doesn't get crossways with, oh, well, if you put my bill up, then I'll vote for this bill and all this stuff, where it just comes to focus on the bill itself. And that tends to be where leadership has gone in the past, and I anticipate them to go that way again this time.
All right, Representative, good to see you.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, Representative Matt Simpson. And we will keep following the story as we have been for the, for the last months and months, and if not longer, on there. Joining us here in a little bit, Todd Stacey, Capital Journal, Alabama Daily News. Actually, he had on Capital Journal on Friday night, he had a roundtable about exactly what we just talked about with Representative Simpson. We'll talk about that with him and a whole lot more when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along. And let's check in with it. And I didn't plan it this way because I just behind the scenes had scheduled that interview with Representative Matt Simpson. I scheduled that last week before I knew what would be the Capital Journal show for this week, but it works. I mean, I can pretend like I had it all planned out when I tell you our next guest, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. Hey, Todd.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. Good. And yeah, this kind of pivot here, I guess not too much of a pivot, hand in glove, because you took this on Capital Journal on Friday night, this question about the drugs in our state and fentanyl.
We do. So we focused this last episode on the issue of opioid addiction. And we really came from different angles. One is preventing addiction, especially in young people, because you're going to see a big push on that next year. Of course, enforcement. I mentioned Mr. Simpson's proposal. Because it's a big deal. I even asked the Attorney General's office about it, and they seem to be very supportive of that. And also treatment. You know, what options are out there for those who do become addicted to opioids, both from children, you know, teenagers and college students to adults. And so it was really it was interesting to be able to spend an entire hour show just on that one topic. You know, normally we're bouncing around to different topics facing the state, but we really took the time to focus on this. And one reason why was, you know, the Attorney General announced earlier this year that they had won this settlement from the drug companies, $264 million. It's going to be coming in. They're going to be using it for different things. The legislature will have a lot to say about that. But one effort is prevention, trying to through advocates, through doctors, through all these ways to, you know, public service campaigns to try to prevent young people, teens and college students from becoming addicted to opioids. And the biggest problem we're facing right now with that is this fentanyl, because, you know, when a kid or, you know, teenager or whatever have you goes online or goes on Snapchat to get, you know, Adderall or Xanax, those are the two real popular ones. Many times they really don't know if that product they're getting is legit or whether it's laced with this fentanyl, which could just literally kill them from one use. So it's a huge problem, and it's something that, yes, we need more enforcement. We need tougher laws. I think Mr. Simpson's proposal is probably going to pass, if not, you know, maybe we get added to from some other people who are seeing this problem. But you've also trying to create some resources for parents to see, okay, what should some of the warning signs be that we need to look out for in our teenager that, you know, may be starting to go down this path of using drugs, and how do we get in front of that and prevent it from the very beginning?
Yeah, okay, that's one of the kind of the nuanced questions there. that I've talked about with law enforcement folks, talked about it with Representative Simpson as well. This, okay, you just mentioned like Adderall, for example. There's a story up in Ohio that I think three went to the hospital, one died from what they thought was Adderall, that they were taking to study for exams. Now, it's not a good thing. It's not. I'm not saying green light for kids taking Adderall to do that, but it's in the scale of things, it's fairly innocuous. Correct? I mean, how you navigate saying, listen, I tell you no to anything. But also, I've said this before. My parents also told me don't drink beer before you're 21. Well, Todd, guess what I did?
How'd that work out?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I'm trying to navigate this with open eyes and say. And then that kid, how do you tell that kid almost, if you can't do that, but if you do that, make sure it's real. You know, I don't know where to even start with that. That's the thing that's so crazy about this.
Yeah, and look, I don't have kids. I know that would probably be pretty tough. And you know, I don't know it whether it's a situation of a parent saying, no, we don't want this, because I could see a parent being worried about a kid getting, you know, a dependence on a
absolutely
pretty powerful substance.
Sure. But so at least you had time to head that off at the pass, right? If God forbid that happens, there's some chance it's not a one and done.
Yeah. And I think, and I tell you, I learned a lot from listening to these doctors. I had Dr. Stephen Taylor. He's a child psychiatrist. And, you know, these are trained medical professionals. They know what they're doing. And I think in any kind of situation like that, parents, you've really got to listen to the doctor. And if there is a need, I'm sure there are tests and all that kind of stuff.
There are.
But I certainly, you know, parents need to be involved. And maybe that's one of the things. If you've told your kid no, if they go search it online, because yes, taking fentanyl is far worse than taking Adderall. I mean, it's not even in the same category.
But they don't think they're taking. You know, that's the thing. They don't think they're taking it. That's the deal, and that's what's so scary for us out here as parents.
Absolutely. So, but it's not just the act itself. There are some, you know, factors leading up to that these doctors talked about in terms of, you know, different behavior amongst your young person and just different, you know, maybe a whole different set of friends and things like that. So I encourage you to go watch it, because I certainly learned a lot from listening to these experts, whether it was the you know, law enforcement side, the advocate side, or again, these doctors. I'd encourage you to go watch it. It was a good episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Engerizer's on there, y'all, who's been on this show before.
That's right.
Talking about this, and it's, so you also talk about that money to be spent. And I hope, and you know, we both are fairly savvy to how things happen. I hope it doesn't end up being, it's not all going to be, that there's not waste. Like, let's create a character that says, hey, no, kids, let's not do opioid. You know what I'm saying? If I see that stuff or something that, some kind of PSA or something that misses the mark with young people, you know, where it's just obvious a bunch of old people did it. We're wasting money that could save lives.
Yeah, and I think they're very cognizant of that. So I talked with Sally Longshore. She is the director of the Alabama Department of Child Abuse and Neglect, and they are working with the an agency to really come up with this campaign. She talks a little about it. They're not finished. It's really going to start at the beginning of next year. I mean, the beginning of this upcoming year. And she talked a little bit about it, about how it's essentially kids talking to kids, and a lot of personal stories, young people talking to young people, I should say. It sounds promising. I know where you're coming from. In fact, I was sharing a story about, I don't know if you remember, the Zero Meth campaign.
Yeah.
But it was a bit of, it tried to be really gritty and like and hard hitting. And what ended up happening is that, like, for those who had been addicted to meth, it like triggered them, you know, and like, yep, showing people doing meth made them want to do meth. So we certainly don't want that. But I'm confident about what these folks, the Fowler Davis Agency is running it. And they're really good. They've done some similar things in the past. I also think you're going to be talking about victims, right? I mean, the whole point behind this settlement is for remediation. And so I think the legislature is probably going to be looking at victims. How do you compensate victims who were unfairly targeted by this? We also tried to just kind of tell the story about you got to go back to the late 90s, and that's when the overprescription of opioids really started. That's when, you know, it's portrayed in some of these movies, Dope Sick, some of these others, where the pharmaceutical companies were telling doctors, oh, don't worry, these aren't addictive. You can prescribe them in higher doses. Well, that wasn't true, and it took years to figure it out that it wasn't true. And so, you know, it was 2017 when the United States government declared opioid addiction to be a public health emergency. So we're just now, really in the last several years, really attacking this problem. And of course, now it's fentanyl.
Yeah.
Right. Opioid prescriptions are way down. The dosage prescribed is way down. But now we've got the synthetic opioid, fentanyl, that is just exploding onto the scene. And so even though those prescriptions are going down, even though the dosage is going down, deaths and overdoses are going up. That is where the fentanyl is coming in.
Absolutely. Y'all can go tell them if they did not catch it live, if they want to go check out what we're talking about, Capital Journal from Friday night. How do they do it?
Yes, the website is aptv.org. You'll find it on there. Search for Capital Journal. We've also got it on the Alabama Daily News website. We always post the show that next week. It's just aldailynews.com. That's the homepage.
And while they're there, let's talk about signing up. If they're the three people that have yet to sign up for the email, how do they do it?
Well, yeah, so if you sign up for the email, you would have seen the Capital Journal because it was at the top of the news this morning. It's just click sign up at the very top there, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. You'll get our news every morning about 8 o'clock.
Good stuff. As always, I appreciate our conversations, and I'll check back with you next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
Hey, you too. There he is, Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. Coming right back, got calls and texts to get to, and we'll do it straight ahead.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, and we'll get to the phones in just a second here at 343-0106. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And if you're looking to haul people, children, adults that act like children, David's got the vehicles for you. Hey, man.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Good.
We have got, we've been talking about utility vehicles here lately. We've got a lot of Suburbans and Yukons and Expedition ZLs that have come in and gone out. So we've gotten some more in. They seem to be selling good. So if you're looking for a utility vehicle, small or large, it's time to come see us.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm looking at the text line today, and you have, Sims guy from the text line said, I'm heading to LCM Motors to upgrade my pickup truck. These guys are awesome. So thank you, Sims guy. That's what I tell you all the people that I buy from and have sold to, David and the crew at LCM. Obviously, Sims guy doing the same thing. So thanks for making that experience so great for all of us.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, that's what we're here for, and we couldn't do it and make it good for anybody if it wasn't for the customers coming to see us. So it works both ways.
All right. Tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation in Theodore. Give us a call at 251-375-0068. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. And if you see something and you don't like a picture or you need a better picture, call us. We'll send it to you.
Good stuff. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And, yeah, so Sims guy on the text line and many others over time, that's there's two of the three vehicles in my driveway we purchased from LCM. We also have sold two vehicles through LCM. Maybe somebody has bought. So check them out. Good folks I deal with. Let's go to the phones. And my man Robert and Sims is up first. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Sean. I hope you cut out more than 2 minutes for me, but I'll understand if that's all I get.
I give you four.
Listen, I don't want to go Tom Clancy on you, and some of your listeners may not know who I'm talking about when I say Tom Clancy, but I'm not sure the clear and present danger of doctrine, if it doesn't exist, it needs to. And, you know, I don't know why I saw Sheriff Cochran on TV last week. He was ready to have the Air Force go in and take care of these drug dealers in Mexico, if I understood him right.
Yeah, he said the same thing on this show. Yes, you heard him correctly.
Okay, well, I'm big into not misrepresenting people's thoughts. But at any rate, I believe in this country we have men, and it ain't me and you. They bigger and stronger and overgrown, bigger than me and you. But I believe we have men in this country, or I hate to use the word team. I've grown to dislike the word team. But I believe we have men in this country who go into Mexico, and they could do it in one night. They could clean up maybe three or four of these houses, those, whatever you call these places where they're making this.
Those labs, man. Yeah, they're just going in. I watched the documentary. They just go in there, set it up for the night, cook all this stuff up, and then disappear.
Well, let me tell you what. Now, if whoever took El Chapo's place, and that's the only one, that's the only drug lord down there I know I've read about or heard about El Chapo. I'm sure there are others. Whoever replaced El Chapo, if three or four of his labs, his people come to, some kind of unplanned demise, and there was a high-def picture stuck to the wall with an American bayonet of where his location was, wouldn't that send a chilling effect through the, the drug cartels, for lack of a better term?
One would think, and it's interesting you use a term. Well, you're just throwing terms around, team, right? And teams. Yeah, there's teams. There's teams.
I'm so sick of the word team.
But there's teams. But there's teams in the U.S. military. There's teams. We'll just leave it at that. There's teams that are really good at doing stuff. So.
Yeah, well, let's go with team. Okay, my personal opinion is the word team. You're right. It's irrelevant. I agree with that.
But in that case,
let's send a team of however many men. And let me tell you what, there's some guy in the basement. I don't believe all the intelligence people, and there's probably groups of intelligence people that we don't know exist.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they know exactly where this place is. I bet they know exactly where El Chapo's replacement is. And they could put this together in 48 hours. And these guys that I'm talking about, and like I said, it ain't me and you.
No,
They're somewhere sitting at the foot of their. This is just a kind of a metaphorical thing. Mm-hmm. They're sitting at the foot of their, sitting on their foot locker at the end of their bed, sharpening their Bowie knife.
Mm-hmm. I like those kind of guys.
I believe they exist, and I believe, like I said, if this is not a clear and present danger to our country, based on the figures that I'm sure you know better than me, then what is? And if we, if our country was being accused of doing. What Mexico is, not the people necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of hardworking Mexicans down there just want to go to work and go home. I get
correct.
But the Mexican government is just a figurehead. I mean, the cartels are clearly running. But don't you imagine, like I said, if, there was a high-def picture of the Hacienda, and I don't know if that's the right word or not.
I think it is, yeah.
Stuck to the wall of a formerly, what do you call those places where they make them? A lab or whatever?
A lab, yeah.
Don't you think that would slow it down a little bit? Like, hey, they know where I'm at.
It might. It might very well might. Robert, I appreciate the call. You are not. I mean, I've heard from several people. I don't know what has to be done law wise, right? Because the U.S. has been involved, right, in drug interdiction and all that, and I've had my issues with that actually. Working in Colombia, in those places. But there is some precedence. You would have to, I guess, work along with Mexican government, the people you could trust. But it is interesting, and it's something that is pushed to a level here where it's maybe it becomes a discussion point. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. I think what you do is you use, Robert, teams. Who knows where they were? They probably weren't there. I don't. What are you talking about? We don't even have any guys to do that. What are you talking about? Maybe the better way to do it. I don't know. Somebody update on the Queen's still at the funeral. I think they're still doing the funeral. I don't know. Somebody asked me the latest on it. I tell you the side of the Queen Elizabeth funeral is what about securing that today? Obviously, way ahead. It's already. I don't know where they're. If it's still going on now, if they're driving the hearse still slow, I don't know. But during the funeral today, when you had all those people, all those, muckety-mucks, heads of state from all over in one place, I know that they put like a no drone fly zone over London, and they had, it seemed like the pictures I saw, every rooftop had a sniper team up there, had people up there. But my gosh, what a job. I mean, that seems like something away from a James Bond movie or something. You put all those heads of state in one place and try to secure them. But it looks like they did exactly that. So good to whatever groups did that to secure the event in London. I don't know the rest of it. People asking, Zelensky's wife show up? Does anybody know? I didn't see that earlier. There was a discussion whether... Is it Oleana or Oksana? I don't have it in front of me, but the First Lady of Ukraine, she was going to show up at the funeral. Did that happen? Dig on that during the news break. By the way, folks checking in from Birmingham, listening on the app. Yeah, the FM Talk 106.5 app. It's free, lets you listen from all over the globe, really, if you got a cell signal. All right, coming back, Dr. Sean Powers joins us, hour number two of Midday Mobile, next.